There's nothing wrong with being weird. God calls us to be a peculiar people, so just be weird for the right reasons. You know what I'm saying? So I am that, and I know that. I spend a lot of time going after younger generation, so mature generation, forgive me. I am going to try and slow down, but it will be very difficult for me. I'm going to challenge you this morning. I mean that intentionally. I'm going to try and step on your toes because I think what we need is the body of Christ to become bold. We live in a time where there's over 400,000 churches across the nation of America. We have more Christian shirts, Christian shoes, Christian wristbands, Christian t-shirts. We even got Christian ties. Like, I was so happy when Pastor told me I didn't have to wear a tie. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I don't like ties. But I have a biblical reason for ties. I told Pastor my biblical reason, and he accepted it, so I know it's accurate. I don't like ties because when you wear a tie, you are celebrating the curse. There were no ties prior to Adam sinning. Can't argue with me. And I can show you in the scripture where ties come from. Cain killed his brother. God put a mark on him. It was the tie. That's my theology, and I'm sticking with it, and y'all can't prove me wrong till we get to heaven, okay? But we got Christian ties. But think about this for a second. For all of our Christian stuff, America's not looking too good. We're kind of shifting and quickly. So I think, body of Christ, we've got to become more bold. Now, one of the blessings that I get from ministry is I get to travel, and I travel quite a bit. I'm on the road over 220 days a year. One of the neat places that I got to go to a few years ago was Molokai, Hawaii. It was ministry, thank you very much. But I'm not going to lie, it was cool ministry. I went outside, I'd set everything up, and the worship team was setting up, so I went outside and took a picture outside of Molokai, Hawaii, and this was the picture that I took. And I went back inside, I had it on my phone, and my assistant was with me and her husband and my wife, and I showed it to him, and my assistant looked at the picture and immediately said, "What a great picture of the cross." Oh, yeah. I didn't see the cross when I took the picture. My focus had been on the rainbow. Now, why do I show that picture to you? Because I told you I'm weird. And there's a point. Things can be right there in front of us, and we can miss them. And I think it's that when it comes to this becoming bold issue. That same year, I went to Saskatoon, Canada. You ever heard of Saskatoon, Canada? I hadn't. I really hadn't. But when I got there, it was amazing ministry. But it's rural, man. It's way out there. Got back, and I was watching the news one night, and there was a police car chase in Saskatoon, Canada on the news. You guys remember watching it? It's awesome. You got to see this. It's a police car chase, Saskatoon, Canada. You don't remember seeing that on CNN? No, it's fake news. No, it's not a Canadian Midas. It's actually a Canadian Midas tire commercial. Now, why did I do that? I told you I'm weird, but it has a purpose. Things can be right there in front of us. We can miss them. And think about it like this. Police officers, they need our prayers and our support. They do. All right? So I'm not mocking them in any way, shape, or form, but their job is straightforward, protect and serve. That, my friend, is an easy day at the office. Bad guy is stuck 6 foot in front of you, spinning tires, and he's pushing his car. All you got to do is walk up. You're under arrest. He didn't do it. He got out and he pushed his car. So here's my point when it comes to becoming bold. The answer can be right there in front of us. We can miss it. And it can be really quite simple, but we make it more difficult than it needs to be. So James 1:5 is what I'm going to key off of this morning. And it says this, that if any of you lack wisdom, what are you supposed to do? Ask who? This is a key to understanding how you can have 400,000 churches across the nation of America and Christianity being invisible in the culture. Because those that are sitting in church pews, when they lack wisdom, who are they asking? And if you tell me that we're asking God, I will disagree with you. And I'll take you to the local Christian bookstore and show you the bestsellers. And we aren't asking God, we are asking man. We are asking somebody to tell us what we think God meant. instead of going to his word. Now, why don't we go to his word? Because of this next verse, this next issue. It's a key issue. It's the key to understanding how you can have the churches and Christianity be invisible. But let them ask in faith with no doubting. Doubt is the tool that Satan has used from the very beginning. Think about it. In the very beginning, at the end of creation, everything, as you told me in Sunday school, was not just good, it was very good. How did we get to where we are? Simple question. Did God really say that? That's not deep. That's not theological. That's a pretty simple, straightforward question. Either God said it or he didn't. Adam and Eve blew it. And we want to get mad at them? We blow it every day. We do the same mistake. Adam and Eve determined that they could figure out what truth was apart from God. Thank you, God. We can take over from here. You said this, he said this. We can determine what the truth is apart, and we can do it on our own. Welcome to our problem. It's called sin. Doubt. If Satan can get us to doubt Genesis 1, guess what? You'll never sell out for John 3:16. I do a lot of street evangelism, and I've got people that tell me all the time, oh, you need to give them the book of John. At the risk of sounding very disrespectful, why should I give anybody the book of John if the book of Genesis isn't true? All of this wonderful theology in John is predicated on the history that's in Genesis. If the history isn't true, why is the theology true? And this is where the world has been smart. Let me get you to doubt the first chapter, and I own you. Doubt. And James 1:8, what happens when you doubt? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And I'm going to say to you, to get to where we are in our culture today, to have that many churches, that many Christian shows, Christian movies, Christian you got people that are trying to put one foot on the world's wisdom and one foot on the Word of God. And I learned as a young man, straddling doesn't get you anything good. And if a Christian isn't willing to put both feet firmly on the Word of God, why should the world want anything to do with it? They see us when we say one thing and we live another. It's the number one attack against Christianity. It's called hypocrisy. And it's a valid attack. If we, body of Christ, aren't willing to allow the Word of God to be our standard referent, and those of you that were here yesterday, you know what I'm talking about. We got nothing. Simple tool, all the way back to Genesis. Did God really say that? That's not deep and theological. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, though. You're saying, but Carl, there's no evidence for God. I mean, people are challenging me, and there's no evidence for God. And so, would you like me to answer that statement? Address that statement, I should say. Anybody? Oh, good, a few of you. The vast majority of you don't have a clue where I'm going with this, and so this is going to be a shock to your system. I do a series of videos called Debunked. Debunked videos are geared for the younger generation, mature generation. You know this younger generation thinks different. You know what I'm saying? They have a 2.2-second attention span. This is what the research shows. You think I'm joking. I'm not. 2.2-second attention span, which, by the way, is less than a goldfish. A goldfish supposedly has a 3-second attention span. I'm still trying to figure out what scientist figured that one out, man. How'd you do it? You got goldfish? You got a stopwatch? What's he paying attention to? Bubbles? I mean, guys, it's a goldfish. So if you think that I can come up to a younger generation and today we're going, they're done, they're gone, and you're not going to get them back. So I have to come after them. So this debunked video is fast-paced. All right? I'm just telling you that. I'm warning you. And as soon as we get connected back up in there, we will show it. Should I set my own projector up? Hey, you know what I found, guys? This is honest. This is what I found over the years. When this kind of stuff takes place, something interesting is going on. Because we did this for the last 2 days. Not one issue. Not one glitch. So you know what that tells me? Satan doesn't play fair. and he wants to distract somebody out here. Somebody that's sitting there saying, this guy's an idiot, and I don't want to hear any of this. Oh, see, they can't even get this stuff to work right. It's okay. You're not going to get me. I'm not going to get frustrated. I've been doing this for so long, man. If I got to bring out my projector and set it up, we will do that. If I got to do it without my projector, we will do that, okay? So you're not going to win, Satan, so you might as well get lost, all right? It's just... So here we go. Hang on, because this is going to be fast-paced.
Lots of people say there's no evidence for God. Well, we're going to knock that one out in three. I'm just going to have to keep it simple, throw in the old 1-2 combo, get in and out real quick, and let you fine folks chat all about it, okay? Punch one I'm going to call the info uppercut. When's the last time you walked into a library and asked, hey, where are all the books that have been written by mindless products of natural laws? The librarian would probably laugh at you and tell you that no such books exist. And they don't exist because they can't exist. Why not? Because first of all, it's just common sense. The words that form the message in books always originate from a person with a brain. Or to say it a bit more scientifically, typically, the message of the book, the purpose, comes to be understood by the orderly placement of the words, design, and information. Ah, information. Now, anytime we find info, these basic laws always apply. Number one, matter doesn't spontaneously produce information. Number two, only a mental source, intelligence, can generate new creative information. In other words, just like those books that couldn't originate without a mind, neither could life. Why not, you ask? Because we know that DNA contains information. Therefore, the laws of information science apply, which means the information in DNA couldn't have spontaneously generated, and that a mind is behind the information. Period. No exceptions. Look at it this way. The simplest life form we know of is an amoeba, and it contains as much information in its DNA as 1,000 complete sets of Encyclopedia Britannica. So, are we to believe that there's no way a message in a library book could spontaneously generate, but far more complicated messages in DNA that contain 1,000 times more information could have? Not likely. You see, when it comes to life or anything else that contains information, the laws of information science confirm the necessity of a creative mind. And guess what? In the very first book of the Bible, it just happens to mention that. In the beginning, God created. Bam. Uppercut lands on the chin. And now here comes the indefensible head blow. We'll call this the not a big bang bing swing, the KO to the claim that there's no evidence of God, the law of causality, left hook of doom. It goes like this. Everything that had a beginning had a cause. The universe had a beginning, therefore the universe had a cause. Now, either something caused the universe to come into existence, or nothing caused it. Huh. I might not be the smartest guy behind the telescope, but honest, practical, everyday thinking's going to lead me to the former. You have to work pretty hard to conjure up a way that nothing did it. You see, it's pretty improbable, nigh impossible, to account for design, information, and cause if the universe just exploded from nothing. Smack. And while we're on the topic, where did the matter come from that exploded? Are we really to believe that there was nothing and then it exploded, and now the exploded nothing is something, and we just happen to be smart enough to discover and understand the very laws that prove the opposite? And if the general understanding of the law of cause and effect is true, how can matter come from a lesser cause? Like nothing. I mean, come on. I don't have a bunch of letters after my name, but even a monkey knows better. And yeah, I snuck in a couple of extra jabs in there, so sue me. Now for some parting words from our sponsor, the Bible. It tells us in Romans 1:20 that since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. It also says that people actually know the truth, but they reject it, which explains why even though there's overwhelming evidence that there is a God, evidence won't convince the unwilling. Sad but true. So there you have it. With just a couple of meaningful blows, the claim that there is no evidence for God is down for the count, mi amigos. In other words, it's been debunked. Adios.
So, I was watching faces, and there was a lot of, what just happened? That was way too much information, way too quick. Yeah, intentionally. But let me ask you a question. Was it done well enough that you would watch it again to glean a little more information from it? Was it done well enough that you're having a conversation with somebody and they say, well, there's no evidence for God? You would say, hey, I got a short video. Can I show it to you? And you tell me what you think about it? Not to argue, not to fight, just to challenge them to think a little bit. Anybody? Yes. Okay, if I give it to you for free, would you take it? Yes. All right. Good. Free seems to be the word that works the most. So I'll tell you what. How many of you all have a smart device? Got a smartphone with you? Anybody? Anybody? Take it out. It's okay. I have a very special dispensation. You can do this. I'm going to show you two ways to get it. Number one, the first one is how you can get the new ones when we release them before we release them to the general public. So go to your messaging software. On an iPhone, it looks like this. You go to that green thing, and you hit that. Now, you Google folk, I couldn't begin to help you other than to tell you to get a Mac, all right? That's all I'm going to say. I can't help you with that other stuff, but there's somebody in here that can. When you hit that, it's going to take you to this. And in the upper right-hand corner, you see a pencil and a paper thing. You hit that. And that will take you to where you can send a message. You young folk, you're like, come on, I got it, okay. You're going to send a message to 51555. That's who you're sending the message to. That's the recipient. The message simply reads, adios. Please spell adios correctly. A-D-I-O-S. There is no U in adios. Adios, space, and don't spell space. Hit the space bar. I've been doing this for a long time, man. It's like, you can't believe all the variations I've seen. Adios, space, A-B-B-C. Hello? Anybody wonder what that stands for? That's y'all. Now, when you hit that and send that, you're going to get a link. And that link right there, you have to hit that, go there, and fill out this form and submit it. When you do that, you become the debunked defender. And you will get all the new debunks when we release them. You'll get them a week before I release them to the general public because I'm trying to give you a ministry, something that you can do. Now, while you've got your smart device out, go to your app store. And in your app store, you're just going to do a simple search. It's not complex. It's very simple. All you're going to search for is the letters R, F-O-R, there we go, R, F-O-R-H. Search that in your app store and download the app. It's totally free of charge. Totally free of charge. All of the debunked videos are on there. The current ones are on there. The other one is going to get you the new ones early. This one gets you all the current ones. You see that white page right there with that blue background that makes a D? That's the debunk tab. By the way, the app also works if you're Apple or Roku. It works on there, and they're totally free. Well, it's not totally free. I've waited till you've downloaded it. Now let me tell you the cost. You need to share it with five people. I have no marketing team. You're now my new marketers, all right? You download our app. There's hours of content on there, hours, all right? You got to share it with five people, and you got to use it. That's the cost, okay? So anyway, let's get back to where we were. I'm having this conversation. There's no evidence for God, and a guy challenges me out on the street. Here's another way that I will deal with it. I will show them the debunked video, but I'll also do this. It's like, really, there's no evidence for God? I'll ask you what I asked them. Can I show you a short video? It's okay? You're not ready for this. I'm just telling you. I am warning you up front. You are not ready for this. But I actually show this to people. Here we go.
Tostitos, how'd you think of these Scoops chips?
It was the 1990s. Dips had become extreme. Layers of intense ingredients. It was too much. No! I was a broken chip, and I needed to change. But how? I wandered the world looking for answers. I looked at stuff. Then it hit me. I changed my shape. Now I'm ready for any dip.
Even this big old dip? Booyah!
Bring it!
Booyah!
I told you weren't ready for that. Because I'm looking at your faces and you're like, dude, you're having a conversation about evidence for God and you're showing a Tostitos commercial. Guilty as charged. I do. So let me ask you the question that I'll ask them after showing that. Is there anybody in here who honestly, genuinely believes that a bag of chips can talk? Anybody? Thank you. Those folks are really hard to have conversations with, I'm just going to tell you. And there's more and more of them on college campuses, I'm just telling, all right? All right, how about this? Does anybody honestly, genuinely believe that a chip doesn't like the way that it looks so it can change its shape all by itself? Anybody believe that? Well, you're like, Carl, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. Nobody believes that stuff. Really? So it's stupid to think that a chip can change its shape because it doesn't like the way that it looks? Then why is this science?
Over the course of 14 billion years, hydrogen gas transformed itself into mountains, butterflies, the music of Bach, and you and me.
Okay, so it's ridiculous to think that a chip can change its shape because it doesn't like the way that it looks. But it's science to teach that over the course of 14 billion years, hydrogen gas, which we have no clue where it came from, exploded to become everything that we see. That's science, Carl. What's wrong with you? How can you not believe in evolution? We got gas. You got that? Yeah. Yes, I do that. I told you I'm weird. Hey, look. To me, evangelism is a conversation, not a presentation. And if I can get in the conversation with somebody and break every stereotype that they have of Christianity down, I am as conservative, fundamental as you can get theologically. But you better believe when I'm talking to somebody, I will push buttons. I will challenge them. And I'll break every stereotype that they have of Christians. And I'm not going to use profanity or anything like that, but they think they know us. Closed-minded, intolerant, bigoted, opinionated, money-hungry hicks. I'm going to overcome that. You see, guys, you want me to believe that hydrogen gas came from nothing to turn itself into everything? I got one word for you. One word.
Inconceivable!
Millennials get that. By the way, I found this guy's baby picture. Dude looks the same today as when he was a kid. I mean, it's like... Now, let me tell you what happens after I do this. That individual's like, okay, well, if there's a God that created everything, then who created God? Hello? Hello? Anybody? Anybody ever been challenged with that one? You want me to address it? I'm not. I don't have enough time. You got to download the app. Watch it for free. It's one of the debunk videos. It's number 13. They're free. Watch them. We got to move on. Here's my point to you guys. We live in a time where this generation doesn't have a clue on how to give an answer for the reason for the hope that lies within them. They've been duped into thinking that Christians were just, oh, all we have is our faith. All we have is our little fairy tale and our little fables. No. The Word of God is the Word of God. It's real historical accounts. And when I start with it, it helps me to understand the world that I live in. But we live in a time that this generation doesn't accept it. Why? Let me ask you this. Christian, non-Christian, do we have the same stars? Do we have the same rocks? Do we have the same people? Then why do we explain and understand the exact same evidence so differently? I'll illustrate it for you like this. How do they get the balls to roll uphill? Now, I'm a nice guy. I'm going to help you here. There's no reverse photography. There's no magnets pulling them uphill. There's no strings pulling them up. And there's no air blowing them up, which was a very good suggestion. When I'm working with younger generation especially, the first thing that I challenge them to do is when somebody asks you a question, you have to question the question. Because I can ask you a question in such a way that you cannot give a proper response. What questions should we be asking? How about, are the balls rolling uphill? Now, that's a very good question. And it depends on your perspective. Let's take a look at the exact same evidence that the world has. Let's twist it and just look at it from a different perspective. And I'll ask the question again. How do they get the balls to roll uphill? And the answer is, they don't. But did it not look as if they were rolling uphill? This generation, right now, let's be honest, 80 to 85% of Christian homes send their children to the government schools to be trained by the world, to think like the world, where they get a history of astronomy, biology, geology, anthropology, chemistry, and they are taught these facts. And then we get them for an hour a week in Sunday school and think we're going to overcome all of this mess. Remember how many hours in school? 900. How many hours watching television? 1,064. How many playing video games? 936. You want to take a look at all the media that this younger generation is involved in right now? It's anywhere from 8 to 11 hours a day. And you don't think there's messages coming at them from the video games? I'm from what they're watching. Hey, look, I'm admitting I got messages that I'm trying to get out through those debunked videos. You better believe I am trying to impact the way people think. I'm admitting it. They're spending 8 to 11 hours a day because they're better at multitasking. Like me, I'm multitasking right now. I'm talking and moving my hands. That's multitasking. Younger generation is talking, texting, driving, and they're watching a movie, right? So they can jam in 8 to 11 hours a day of media intake. And for the most part, they're being inundated, even through music and a history that undermines the Word of God. So let me illustrate it like this. When you turn over the teaching of astronomy, which is slow gradual processes, Big Bang, to the world, and we get relegated to teaching our little fairy tales and our fables, we got a problem. Does the Bible teach astronomy? Answer is yes, it does. Think about it. God said, the rallying cry of every Christian You know, God said is used in the scripture 46 times. And of those 46, 28 of them take place in Genesis. Genesis is written as historical narrative, not fairy tale, not fable, not allegory. Jesus Christ quoted Genesis 26 times, and if he or 25 times. And if he can quote it as real history, I can accept it as such. And what does it teach us? That God created the earth on day one. God created the sun, moon, and stars on day four. That, by the way, deals with astronomy. But we don't accept that. Because the world has told us, give it enough time, hydrogen gas exploded to become everything that we see. Let me give you a simple illustration to show you how bad that really is. There is no known mechanism to make a single star from naturalistic processes. There is none. I told the guys yesterday, I'll give you all the gas you want. Go blow it up. You're going to make a star? No, you're going to make a mess. How do you get a star? And where did the gas come from? Oh, don't worry about that. That's another talk. We won't go there. You got the gas. Blow it up. Do you know how many observable stars there are in the sky? It's a big number. It's a 7 followed by 22 zeros. Who invented counting that high? Seriously. Let's go back in the day. Carl, you need to invent counting. Oh, okay. 5, 10, 15, 20, 20. How many people you got here today? 20. Don't need any numbers bigger than 20. You got a 7 followed by 22 zeros? Do you know how big that number is? That number is greater than every grain of sand on every beach and desert on our planet. And you're not impressed. You shouldn't be. Because it's actually 10 times more stars than grains of sand. When God said the heavens declare the glory of God, as I was telling you in Sunday school, he meant it. Guys, there's no known mechanism to make a single star, and you've got 76 trillion stars. By the way, you want to know the total number of stars? Those are just the ones we can see. You want to know the total number of stars, including the ones that we can't see, according to the non-Christian? Do me a favor. Read the last word for me here. You ready? What? You know, when I read that the first time, I almost went charismatic. I did. I almost raised a hand and said, amen. There you go, brother. That was, see, in my background, I'm going to tell you right now, that's charismatic. Because I grew up in a church where you sit, you stare, you can blink every 3 seconds. If you raise a hand, you better be swatting a fly. I'm just telling you, okay? That's the way I was raised. But I'm like, forget about it. Amen. It takes an infinite God to create an infinite number of stars, to speak them into existence from nothing. And by the way, he knows them all by name. And by the way, that same God says he knows you and me. And I'm not talking about the face that we got on today because we got our nice clothes on. He knows us at our core. And he still loves us enough to die for us. We can't do anything to deserve that. Yes, the Bible deals and teaches with astronomy. How about biology? Oh, the world teaches biology. I'm about to offend some of y'all right now, but I'm just going to be straight. That's all I know how to do. What does the world teach? Oh, ape-like ancestor evolved into the black folks in Africa, some of those black folks in Africa. They ate fish, and that spurred brain development, so they got smart. As the population grew, some of those smart black folk moved north to turn white. And that's how we got the different races. And you wonder why we have a problem with racism in our country? That is a racist philosophy. And if you think I'm joking, I will show you the videos. It's exactly what evolution teaches. Now, there's two problems with it. Well, there's more than that, but let me give you two. Number one, eating fish makes you smart. Then I should be dumber than a brick. I'm just telling you. Because me, when I eat, stab, cut, chew. Bro, I don't want to spit bone. I don't. I stab, cut, chew. And my wife is Japanese. So this is a big deal when your wife is Japanese and she like loves fish. And I'm not just talking fish. I'm talking those little tiny nasty things. Like when she's cooking them and I'm driving home, we're a block from the house, she's cooking fish. I had to lay down the law. I am the man of the house. I wear the pants. She just tells me which ones. And I'm like, you cannot cook that fish in the house. I sounded so good. It didn't work. Number two, so these smart black folk move north where it's cold to turn white. Anybody with me on this? I'm going to tell you all right now. Smart people stay on the beach. It's the dummies that move up north, man. Carl, live on the beach or go north where there's snow and ice. Yeah, right, as if I'm going. Guys, this is racist to the core. What did God say? God said that he created one man. God said he created one woman. 1 Corinthians 15:45, first man Adam. Genesis 3:20, Eve was called Eve because she's mother of all living. Acts 17:26, we are one race, the human race. The Bible never talks about race other than running a good race. Tribes, nations, cultures. Now, culture's real. I'm telling you, man. Because I told you, my wife is Japanese. I married her in Japan. Her mother has lived with us for 33 years. 10 months. 3 weeks. 2 days. But it's Mother's Day. I got to be nice. Hey, I love my in-laws. My father-in-law passed away 2 years. My father-in-law was the first one to give me a picture of Jesus, and he wasn't even a Christian. He gave me a picture of Jesus in Japan. So I love my in-laws. I'm just messing with you. But my wife, this is their culture. She's the oldest. No brothers. It's her responsibility. You can't handle that? Don't marry into that culture. Culture is real, but the reality is that there's only one race, the human race. We're having a family reunion right now. I know what you're thinking. It's like, oh, dude, this like he's like the crazy Uncle Ernie. I'm glad we only got to see him like once every 5 years or something, right? Hey, this family reunion. By the way, what does science say? I got to let science talk. Okay, science, why chromosome passed from the father to the child? They tested every culture on this planet that you can think of, and they now know beyond a shadow of a doubt that every person on this planet goes back to one man. I could have saved a lot of time and money on that research. Mitochondrial DNA is passed from the mother to the offspring, and you're going to be shocked by this. You know, do you know what they found? They found that every person on this planet goes back to one woman. Could have saved a lot of time and money on that research as well. Because God has been telling us that from the very beginning. And if we, body of Christ, had stood on that, we wouldn't see what we see in our country today. We blew it. Christian, we dropped the ball. What about geology? Oh, yeah, the world's got geology, slow gradual processes. Come dig dinosaur bones with me. When you look at the rocks cry out that God did what he said that he did, the way that he said that he did it. You don't want to dig dinosaur bones? Go down the Grand Canyon. I'll put you in touch with the people. I led those trips for years. I can't do it anymore. I'm getting old. But I'll put you in touch with the folks, and we'll take you down there. They will show you the rocks, and they cry out. But here's my point to you this morning, guys. We have 400-plus thousand churches that have been inundated with this message that, oh, the Bible, you can't really trust this history. But the one thing that we want to trust is the morality. Think about this for a second. We are Christians and we have morals. We don't smoke. We don't drink. We don't chew. We don't date girls that do. We don't like that long-haired stuff. And that Pierce, you better not come in here with those tats as well. Thank you very much. We have morals. We're Christians. Forgive me? Don't you understand that the morals are based in the history? And if the history's not true, why are the morals true? Let's take a couple, just so I can offend everybody, okay? Marriage. Why is marriage one man, one woman for life? Because I think so? You think so? Law of the land states it? No, because we voted for that change a few years ago with an individual that told us that he was going to do what he did when it came to marriage. And he did it. 30% of the people that went in and voted said Jesus with their lips and voted with their hip pockets. We got that change. Marriage is not because we voted on it, because I want it, because you want it, because somebody told us that, because the creator of the institution said so. And I don't care what the law of the land states. And it's not hate to tell somebody that you're doing something that's going to separate you for all eternity from a loving God. You know, the most loving thing that you can do is to love somebody enough to look them in the eye and be real. Not hate, not mean-spirited, but to tell them the truth. Why is abortion wrong? You're attacking us, Carl. No, I'm not. Abortion is wrong because God said from the point of conception, you're a human being, you're created in the image of God, you are fearfully, wonderfully made. Because he created us. Guys, if you lose that history, you will lose that morality. And that's why I say to you that even those in the church today are losing the Christian morality because they've lost the history. You cannot justify a biblical morality without the Bible. So progressive Christianity, where do you think it's coming? What does it mean? Progressive means changing. So they are changing their authority. They're changing their standard. And by the way, when you do that, you will also lose the eternity. So here's the point that I'm trying to make to you. If you want to become bold, I think it's right there in front of us, and I think it's quite simple. When we turned over the teaching of astronomy, biology, geology, and the facts to the world, and they taught our children for all these years now the facts, and we got relegated to teaching our little fairy tales and our fables, our Bible stories, where do you think they're going to go when crunch time comes? Are you going to go to the people that are giving you facts, or are you going to go to the people that are giving you little fairy tales and fables? I can tell you where I went until I was 26 years old, and somebody challenged me. And church, you know why I was so blessed to be here these last 2 days? And your church should be very encouraged, because you opened your doors up to youth. And that is where the battle is, guys. Satan is coming after them, and he's not playing fair. We had 2 days to go after this younger generation. You had young people leading. Guys, we've got to train that generation how to be able to deal with what this world is going to throw at them. And that means it's going to be intentional. And it's not going to be me telling them little fairy tales and fables about the Bible. It's not going to be a Sunday school where they can say Jesus to every question that's asked and get it right 50% of the time. I know this is Mother's Day, but you know, I think the greatest gift that I can give to you, mothers, is to go after your children and get them fired up about their faith. Because I can tell you right now, I know what my wife and I want from our children, solid in the Lord Jesus Christ, passing that on to our five grandchildren. You see, guys, this is a battle that's going on, and this is a different message than you would typically get, but we cannot teach the Bible as just fairy tales and fables. We've got to teach them how to apply their faith, because the world's coming after them. Why would a loving God allow death and suffering? What about carbon dating? What about continental drift? What about life from the further star? What about aliens? What about UFOs? What about transgender? Why can't two people that love each other get married? By the way, those two are number one with a bullet now. I don't get asked the questions that I got asked 10 years ago. They have changed. And that's why, by the way, forgive me for being a little commercial here, the table that I have out there, it's all suggested donation. The question book that's out there, did Jesus commit suicide? That is nothing more than questions that when I do camps, the kids, I have them write down their questions on index cards and turn them in. That's 28 of those questions. We're working on volume 2 right now. I'm giving you the questions that the kids are coming after me with, not what I was asked 10 years ago, because it's not the same. And it's all suggested donation. Guys, if we can't teach them to deal with that stuff, we're not doing what we were called to do, which was to prepare them to go into this world to be a light. Too many times we're sending them as lambs to the slaughter, and 50 to 88% of the kids raised in the church are gone by the time they're age 18. I mean no disrespect, but I think we have to be straight. The reason I'm so passionate about this is 12 years ago, my son came to me and told me that I was going to be a grandparent. And this is my 5 grandchildren and my wife. That's my oldest grandson. When my son told me that I was going to be a grandparent, my heart kind of fell through the floor, to be very honest with you, because I've been doing ministry for 20 years, and I've been seeing this progression. I'm seeing this chasm that's growing between the mature generation and the younger generation. And this is the honest truth. I'm just going to be straight with you. Every time I get up in front of youth, my heart is like, I'm nervous. Because it's like, are they going to get it? Because it's growing. This chasm is growing. And I can tell you this right now, mature generation, if you're not willing to reach across that chasm to reach them, they are not going to come to you. They could care less about what we have. Because the world's taught them to think like the world, and we're just a bunch of idiots. And if we can't reconnect with them to show them that this makes sense, which means I might have to set aside some of my preferences. Did I say that we have to compromise the message? No. I will not compromise the Word of God. But you better believe the way that I do stuff, I will be creative. And by the way, my wife, Japanese, so my children are half Japanese. My grandchildren are quarter Japanese. Blonde hair, blue-eyed. Get over it. We're separating over skin tones and eye shapes. It's genetic traits, man. Don't separate over that stuff. I made a commitment 12 years ago to go after the younger generation. And I walked away from big ministry, largest creation ministry going. My job was to get the Creation Museum funded. After it was done, I was like, man, I got to go after younger generation because Satan's going after him and he doesn't play fair. So I walked. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now. I covet your prayers. I want to show you one more thing here, if this pops back up. We do man on the street interviews, okay? And if it doesn't pop up, you can still hear it. We do man on the street interviews. I train younger generation, then we take them out and just engage people in conversations. So this one took place in Georgia. Young lady interviews. Oh, good, came back. This young lady. Her name is Abigail. It's not, but it is for sake of illustration. Abigail grew up atheist. She's now agnostic. And she doesn't believe the Bible. The Bible's got mistakes and errors. She's a firm believer in evolution. I'm cutting this down real short for you. Can you give me any answers to evolution? Why do you believe it? Well, I don't know science that well. I just believe it. Why? Well, does the Bible have mistakes and errors? Oh, yeah, it's got mistakes and errors. Can you tell me any? No. Guys, we have this conversation. And then when it's all done, all right? You see the microphone there? When it's all done, the interview is over. Gabby puts the microphone down, and this lady then says this. Why do we do what we do? Why am I the way that I am right now? Because this is what I'm running into this with this younger generation. Please listen carefully. The subtitles are there so you can read them as well. Listen to what she said.
The thing is, I have to work, but like,
yeah.
I grew up, I guess, an atheist. Now I'm like very agnostic, and I do like, yeah. I go to church. Like, I am a worship leader there, but like, I have.
You're what?
You're a worship leader?
But the hard part is,
I would have never guessed.
Like, the hard part is, it's like I can't get myself to believe it, but I've been looking for everything, and I've been looking for someone to explain it.
Did you catch that? I know it was without the subtitles. It might have been hard. She is a worship leader at a mega, mega, mega church. I'll tell you, Andy Stanley's church. She's a worship leader. She's agnostic. That breaks my heart. Number two, what breaks my heart is I've been looking for someone to explain it, and she can't find anybody. Why am I challenging you here today on apologetics? Why did I challenge those kids yesterday for 2 days, quite frankly, on apologetics? Because God commands you and I to be able to give an answer for the reason for the hope that lies within us. It's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. And that's not me trying to put that on you. That's what God told us. We have to study to show ourselves approved. We have to be ready to give an answer. People are looking. You know, it's mind-blowing to me that I have younger generation. Oh, they'll mock me. They'll ridicule me. Those are out there, and it's increasing. But do you know what I find over and over again? Somebody that truly, genuinely cares and can give an answer why they believe, amazing conversations take place. Because this generation is hurting, and they're truly looking for hope. I love apologetics. I do. But I do apologetics for one major reason. And it's to watch this happen. So I'm not just here to preach creation. I'm here to preach Christ to you. And this is my goal through apologetics. Please, I'll finish with this. I'm walking off. But this is interesting.
I will live my life according to these beliefs. God does not exist. It's just foolish to think that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. That an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world is a comforting thought. However, it is only wishful thinking. People can do as they please without eternal consequences. The idea that I am deserving of hell because of sin is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. The more you have, the happier you will be. Our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. In a world with no God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. But with God, life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. Without God, everything is fine. It is ridiculous to think I am lost and in need of saving. And that's how I felt before Christ opened my eyes, changed my heart, and reversed my thinking. I am lost and in need of saving. It is ridiculous to think everything is fine without God. Life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. But with God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. In a world with no God, our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. The more you have, the happier you will be, is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. Because of sin, I am deserving of hell. The idea that people can do as they please without eternal consequences is only wishful thinking. It is a comforting thought, however, that an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world, that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. It's foolish to think God does not exist. I will live my life according to these beliefs.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Thanks for enduring with our technical issues, but we'll figure those out maybe tonight, though. And Carl was right. The whole weekend, not one glitch. So I know that Satan might not want you to hear this, but you heard it, didn't you? You heard it. God is greater than any of the problems that we ever will face. God has the answers for everything we will ever be asked. And it's just our job as Christians to dig into the Word of God to find those answers, right? And I'm thankful that Brother Carl was able to come and influence those young kids this weekend. But, you know, a lot of adults that I talk to also are more concerned about, well, we're praying for those young kids that they will be able to go out and have the answers that they'll be able to. We need to have the answers. Don't pass that off on the younger generation. You live as an example in front of them. You study to show yourself approved. You have the answers that you can give to the world as well. Today, we give you give the opportunity, if you want to give to the Ministry of Reasons for Hope, just put your money in an envelope, mark it Reasons for Hope, and we'll make sure we pass that along to Brother Carl. 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to be meeting back in here, and we trust that you will be able to be with us. I know it's Mother's Day. A couple of you had rearranged some of your celebrations yesterday so you could be here today. Thank you for doing that. And I just pray that you will be able to come back tonight and we'll have a great time. And there will be some a Q&A time, so we'll have some sheets. You can write out questions or ask questions or whatever. So, and want to dismiss in word of prayer. Thank you for coming out today. Yes, got some. Oh, food? There will be food afterward. Yes, thank you. I know. We've got some sandwiches and some cookies, I think. And so just come on over.